Close your eyes and take a couple of good long, deep in and out breaths. Notice where you feel the breathing in the body. Wherever it's clearest that now the breath is coming in, now the breath is going out, focus your attention there. That can be anywhere in the body, because when we talk about breath, it's not just the air that comes in and out through the nose, but it's the movement of energy in the body that allows the air to come in and go out. Sometimes you feel it more clearly in the stomach or in the lungs, the shoulders. But wherever it's clear, focus your attention there. And then ask if it's comfortable. If long breathing is comfortable, keep it up. If it feels labored or heavy, you can change. Make it shorter, more shallow, faster, slower, heavier, lighter. See what kind of breathing feels best for the body right now. Energizing if you're tired. Soothing if you're feeling frazzled. Relaxing if you're feeling tense. Think of the breath as medicine for the body, medicine for the mind. And it's free. If you pay more attention to it, you get more out of it. It's not just in and out, in and out. Tonight we've met to make merit for Dan, passed away yesterday. All too suddenly, all too soon. But as we chanted just now, we're all subject to aging, illness, and death. When we part like this, the only way we can contact one another is through the currents of the mind. The mind has its energy that it broadcasts. So we try to broadcast good energy for him. This is why we make merit. The word merit in Pali, punya, bun in Thai, might be better translated as goodness. We're doing good things. When we do good things, the mind feels good. Then we have a good energy inside the mind, then you can broadcast something good. So right now, as you meditate, you're broadcasting something really good, so keep it up. Make the mind one. Think of it as a gift you're giving to Dan right now. And when it's one, it has more value. We like to think that the more ideas we have, the more value the mind has. But it's like fruit in a market. There's an expensive fruit, but there are lots of them, and they don't have much value anymore. But there's only one fruit in the market that has a lot of value. Same with the mind. When it's one, it has a lot more value because it has more strength, more ease, more well-being inside. So cultivate a single mind right now. There's a story in the canon of King Basenadi who comes to see the Buddha. And as he's talking with the Buddha, one of his courtiers comes up and whispers in his ear that his favorite queen has passed away. And the king almost collapses. His shoulders are drooping. He's at a loss for words. And the Buddha gives him some advice. It's good advice to take to heart. Basically, how to deal with grief. Because the hard part of grief is the sense that you've been wounded. A part of you, when you've lost somebody, it's as if a part of you has been ripped out. And to take your mind off of that sense that the universe is dumping on you and you're the one who's suffering. The Buddha first has you remember that this is what happens to all living beings when, as he says, what do you expect? It's natural. We had that chant just now. It says, I'm subject to aging, illness, and death. In Thai, it says, aging is normal. Illness is normal. Death is normal. We have to remind ourselves of that. We see other people in other countries far away dying, and it's normal. But as it gets closer and closer, it becomes less and less normal. We have to remind ourselves that this is the way things are for everybody. That thought should give you a sense of compassion, realizing that other people have suffered the same pain that you're suffering right now. There's a famous story in the commentaries where a woman has lost her child, but she refuses to admit that the child is dead. So she goes to see the Buddha. And the Buddha says, if you can find mustard seed, that'll be medicine for the child, but it has to be mustard seed from a family that's never had any deaths. So she goes from house to house. Mustard seed is something very inexpensive. So she asked for some mustard seed. People said they'd be glad, happy to give it. But then she says, oh, by the way, has anybody died in this family? So yes, my father has died, my mother's died, my grandfather, my child has died. She goes from house to house to house and realizes, yeah, this happens to everybody. She's finally willing to admit that, yes, the child is dead. What the passage doesn't say, though, is that when you think about this, it gives you a sense of compassion. Everybody has gone through this pain at one time or another. And if they haven't gone through it yet, they're going to go through it soon. So it helps get you out of your own grief and think in larger terms. You can turn your grief into compassion. You walk down the street, you drive down the road. Everybody you see has had grief at some point. Puts a different perspective on life on earth. So that's the first thing the Buddha has you remember. Separation is normal. It's not the case that the universe is dumping on you. It's just simply that this is the way things happen to everybody at one time or another. So you can expand your heart, which feels wounded, but you expand it with compassion. The second thing the Buddha says is if you feel there's anything you can do for the person who's passed away, for the people who remain, through eulogies, through gifts, through listening to the Dharma, go ahead and do it. Express your grief in constructive ways. Think about the goodness that the person has done. And give expression to that. Think about, talk about the goodness of the person. And to see what you can do to help, like when you have a ceremony like this where you do goodness and dedicate it to the person who's passed away. You realize you're not totally helpless. Because as the Buddha saw, when we die, it's not the case that we're annihilated. Wherever there's craving and clinging, the mind moves on, takes birth in a new place. Good places sometimes, bad places other times. So you want to do what you can to help, sending good energy in that direction. And finally, the Buddha says, when you realize that your grief is getting self-indulgent, you have to remind yourself, okay, you have work to do. We all have work to do in this life. And the work is of two kinds. One is our duties in terms of the world. And the other is our duties in terms of looking after ourselves. As we think about the universality of death, the universality of separation, you ask, so how much longer do we have to go through this? How many more times am I going to have to lose somebody? As the Buddha once said, you go through the world and it'd be very hard to find somebody who has not at some place in the past many, many lifetimes you've had, somebody who hasn't been your mother or hasn't been your father or your sister or your brother or your son or your daughter. Our lifetimes have been that many. He says the tears that you've shed over the loss of a mother or a father or a brother or a sister, son or a daughter, are more than the oceans in the world. Think about that the next time you drive up Interstate 5. Look out across the ocean. That's a lot of water, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. So you ask yourself, how much longer do I want to go through this? Is there a way out? That's what the Buddha's teachings are all about. There is a way out. There's an element in the mind that's deathless. And through training the mind in virtue, concentration, discernment, you can find something inside that doesn't get old, doesn't age, doesn't get ill, doesn't die. It's an elementary quality that we can all attain through the practice, like we're doing right now, training the mind to stay with one thing so you can see it clearly and see what motions of the mind lead to suffering. Even though everything we do is for the sake of happiness, we end up causing pain, causing suffering. Why do we do that? It's because we're acting in ignorance. But when you get the mind still, you can begin to see what's going on, see what you're doing, why you're doing it. And if it's causing stress and suffering, you can see also why you don't have to do that. There are alternatives. We don't just have to accept things. That was the Buddha's message as soon as he decided he wanted to teach. He said, open are the doors to the deathless. That was the whole purpose of his teaching. He had found the deathless, he wanted to open the doors to others. realize that we have that opportunity too. So that's the kind of work that remains. Otherwise, we keep going around finding people we love, being separated, finding more people we love, being separated again and again and again. Think about that statement that it's hard to find someone who hasn't been your mother or your father. Nowadays, you walk down the street and you see strangers, and they're totally strange. But those people have been your parents in some previous lifetime over the many, many universes that we've been through. You think about that. It makes all your relationships seem more and more meaningless when you just get further and further away from them. You begin to have a mind that inclines to the idea that it would be good to find an element inside that doesn't die. That's something we can work for. So those are some of the ways in which the Buddha would have you deal with grief, the pain of grief. It doesn't say to deny grief. He just says, think about it more skillfully so you don't have to suffer so much from it. Realize that separation is universal. Everybody gets separated. Everybody dies. Wherever there's birth, there's going to be death. So have some compassion for all the beings who are subject to the same thing that you're subject to now. And do what you can to help the person who's passed away. Through eulogies, through gifts, listening to the Dharma, meditating, doing good in whatever way you think that person would approve of. And finally remind yourself, okay, you still have work to do. There's another story in the canon where Ananda comes to see the Buddha. He has news that Sariputta, who's one of the Buddha's main disciples, has passed away. And Ananda says when he got the news that Sariputta had passed away, his world was dark. He lost all sense of what was north and south, east or west. And the Buddha asked him, when Sariputta passed away, did he take virtue with him? No. There's still virtue in the world. Did he take concentration with him? No. Discernment? No. Did he take release? No. There are still good things in the world. They still have meaning. So focus your attention there. Because that's what makes life livable and also offers the way out to something even better.